Reading from the book of Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in God. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that Jesus did not come to help the angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, Jesus had to become like his brothers and his sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because Jesus himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be
from the Holy Gospel according to the Blessed Apostle Matthew. Now after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated. And he sent soldiers and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had heard from the Magi. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. Then when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee, and he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that that which had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated, please. My text this morning is the lovely passage from our second lesson today from the book of Hebrews. "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. But the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the fifth day of Christmas, just like in the song. Today is the day of the five golden rings. And these five golden rings today represent our dear Savior's holy wounds from the cross. The manger and the cross are never very far apart. Coincidentally, it is also the feast of St. Thomas of Canterbury. This Thomas a Becket was murdered in his cathedral at Canterbury on today's date in 1170 AD at the behest of King Henry II of England. Four of King Henry's barons committed this violent act of sacrilege. They were led by one Reginald Fitzurse. This Reginald was the older brother of my ancestor, Richard Fitzurse. At the time, his family were so appalled by Reginald's act of sacrilege that they changed the family name from the French Fitzurse to the Anglo-Saxon Barham. They were ashamed to admit that they were related to this murderous man in the cathedral. In our text today from Hebrews, this first Sunday of Christmastide, we hear that Jesus is not ashamed. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Now, we might well be embarrassed to admit that we're related to a horse thief or a moonshiner or this murderer, but not Jesus. Jesus could have been ashamed to admit that we are related to him because of all our sins and transgressions against each other. But no, Jesus willingly acknowledges us as his sisters and his brothers. We're in the beautiful season of Christmastide now. Christmastime, when we recall that Almighty God himself chose the most difficult path, the hardest way to draw fallen, broken human beings back to himself. We celebrate in this season the fact that the only begotten Son of God came into the world to save destitute, broken humanity, and to call us home. St. John tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life." What wonderful, comforting words these are, in which we hear that this is the only choice that God had. Jesus comes from God to lead us to wholeness, to lead us to healing, to lead us to salvation. Jesus comes to free us from the burden of sin and alienation, to teach us that Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, is our Abba, our beloved Father. Jesus comes to lead us home again. Jesus is not ashamed to acknowledge us as members of his family. Jesus becomes one of us and points to us in the presence of the eternal heavenly throne and says, "These are my brothers and sisters. They are part of me, and I am part of them." Jesus becomes one with us. Jesus also makes us one with his blessed, perfect humanity. Now, Jesus might well be ashamed to acknowledge human beings as his brothers and sisters. Look at us. Look at the awful mess we have made of the beautiful, pristine world in which God has placed us. Look at human beings fighting each other, making war upon each other, dominating and enslaving one another, raping the environment and polluting the world. Look at the cruelty of humanity. Look at the misery we inflict upon each other. Yet Jesus acknowledges each of us as his sister, as his brother. Jesus acknowledges us as members of his family. Jesus claims us as his own. I remember the pop song of many years ago, and perhaps many of you elderly folks out there do too, the song that said, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother. He ain't heavy, he's my brother." When we realize that we're related to a person as a brother or sister, we acknowledge that we have a special relationship with that person. We can't look down on our brothers and sisters. We can't take advantage of our sisters and brothers. Our brothers and sisters are our equals. They stand beside us. We can't disregard them and their feelings. Now, we may disagree fundamentally with our siblings, but we still love them. We still weep with them in sorrow and rejoice with them in happiness. The wonderful good news of this Christmas season is that Jesus takes each and every one of us as his brothers, as his sisters. And this means, beloved, that each and every one of us is related to the other. But even at Christmas time, with that joyful song of the angels still ringing in our ears, we have to admit that that often is that we're ashamed to call each other our brothers and sisters. We know intellectually that we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, but to put that knowledge into action is hard. It truly is difficult to live out that knowledge, actually to be brothers and sisters together. And in this Hebrew letter this morning, its context, its surroundings, the recipients of this letter often did look down upon each other. They looked down on non-Hebrews. They looked down on slaves. They looked down on women. They looked down on children. And we often are guilty of the same, are we not? Parents may not consider children worth having a conversation with. Children may not answer their parents respectfully. Perhaps we look at folks who are weaker than we, who are poorer than we, whatever. We look at the other person as someone to put down, someone to dominate, someone to lean on, someone to overpower. Even in the church, even in the congregation, how often do we look down on new people, look down on members, on the fringe, look down on someone who is different from us, look down on someone who disagrees with us? How often are we unable to get past all of that and to get on with doing the Lord's blessed work in the world? Do we look down on each other because someone is not wealthy or someone is not important in the world's eyes? Is it because we fail to see the other person as Jesus does, as a member of his family, because we do not see each other as brothers and sisters? In Luke, Simeon the prophet cries out, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And earlier in this same letter to the Hebrew Christians, the author says, "God has spoken to us through the Son." How does that affect us? How does that affect us? Do we see ourselves and others as brothers and sisters in this Word of God made flesh? Because we believe that this Christ is God of God and light of light, perhaps it's hard for us to think that Jesus truly is our brother, that the maker of heaven and earth, the maker of the universe, should be born of a virgin, that he should sleep on his blessed mother's breast, that he should shiver in the cold of the manger, that God Almighty should become a flesh and blood human being might seem preposterous. It might seem illogical. It must be too wonderful to be true. And yet the angel tells us, don't be afraid. A Savior has been born for you. Now there's an old spiritual that says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. This is the message of Christmas. Somebody does know. Somebody does care. Jesus knows. Jesus cares. Jesus is our brother, and we are Jesus' brothers and sisters. Jesus knew rejection. Jesus knew humiliation. Jesus knew the pain of standing at a loved one's grave and weeping. St. Paul tells us Jesus knows our frame. Jesus knows what we're made of. If we don't recognize Jesus as our real brother, it's hard for us to recognize our fellow human beings as our real brothers and sisters, and easy for us to try and exploit them. Everybody can look down on somebody sometime. So often we are arrogant. So often we're proud. So often we put ourselves up on a pedestal. But Jesus, becoming our brother, makes that impossible. If we see how Jesus humbled himself and really became our brother, if we know the warmth of Jesus' loving embrace, if we know the joy of Jesus' forgiveness, if we know the amazing fact that the Creator of the universe has stooped to us and calls us his own brothers and sisters, we know that everyone is our sister and brother as well. Jesus became one of us to set us free. Jesus frees us from fear. Jesus frees us from our fear of each other. Jesus embodies us into the family of faith. Jesus sets us free from the fear of death and from the aimlessness and meaninglessness of life apart from God and his family. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Jesus comes into the world to unite us all in him. Amen. Glory be to Jesus forever and forever. Amen. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.